We're going to take a little side trip today and go back and restudy the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter, whatever it is, 6, I guess. Yeah. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of the men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Now, I don't think we're going to ever do this, but we could have, like if we build a new building and we put a brick in there with your name on it and all that crap. Well, that's what this is talking about. But anyway, that's just an introduction.
Suppose those guys really did that? They'd have someone go harm before they gave a beggar some money or something?
It says they did.
Well, a trumpet doesn't mean a horn there. The trumpet is the...
Yeah, that's the thing. You put it
in. It's a particularly shaped vessel that they put their money in. And so they would go... And it's in the synagogue, and there's one in the temple, too. And they go in and make a big to-do when they are putting in their money. So a trumpet isn't blowing a trumpet. It's right?
Yeah.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Now that closet isn't some little deal you build in the center of your house. The closet, it's the meaning is the innermost room. And so you go into that holy of holy place within you, on the mercy seat. And there you pray. Amen? What? But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And so after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then it gives the Lord's Prayer, which we do with vain repetition. Because everybody... He says it all over the place, and I normally say it wrong. But this is a model for prayer. It isn't the words that are that important. It's the model for the prayer. All right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now again, I just want to review these things because we seem to forget them from time to time. In order to hallow his name, you have to hallow the same things that he does and unhallow the same things that he unhallows, if you will. Hallow is here, it's simply a form of the word hagios, which is where we get the term holy or saint or. But you can't, if he himself, if the Lord said, he said throughout the scriptures that it's finished. He said that it's that he said that you've been perfected by one offering. And he said all these things as we've been apprehended by all these things, then when you begin to pray, then you if you're not hallowing the same things that he is hallowing, then you that's where you stop. You repent. So if you're all concerned about yourself and you're gadding about to change yourself in some way, then you're reminded of that you've been perfected by one offering. If you're just begging in need and you're going to die if you don't get something, then remember all things are yours. You own all things. Now let's just for the kicks, let's go there, 1 Corinthians 4.
I was just thinking that it's in that vulnerable place when you're praying that the darts from the evil one are most effective. You shouldn't be praying. You're not worthy to speak of anything. The accusing parts of your mind kick in.
Right, and that's a perfect example of where you should know that no part of your brain do you owe any obeisance.
Yeah.
If that doesn't show it to you, then nothing will. All right? Let's go. Oh, 1 Corinthians 4.
Yeah, because if you don't know that, you'll stop praying. It'll start.
Let's start in verse 16.
It's 1 Corinthians.
Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Or you are? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. There's nothing that doesn't exist. There's nothing that exists in time and space. It's not necessarily yours in terms of ownership, but it's yours in terms of seeing. But in the context of this, it's impossible for you to have a need. Do you understand that? What is the appearance of a need then? If you have a need, you're not hallowing his name. What's the purpose of the appearance of a need then?
To
see whether or not you will wait on him, or are you leaning on your own arm of understanding? If you don't wait, you're not hallowing his name. Is that? I'm talking not to learn words by rote here. I want you to see the concept of the Lord's Prayer. It's obviously, this is God himself who's telling us some parts of the mystery of his presence. Excuse me. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all are yours, whether of Paul or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God. You can't have a need. It's impossible as a believer to have a need. It's impossible for a believer to have to make a decision. If you have more than one choice, more than one thing going on, then that's the signal to wait. Now, you've got to hear this. If you're not waiting, you're going on your own arm of understanding, or you're beginning to use sorcery and everything else to try to get that need met, then you're not hallowing his name. All right, back to Matthew. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Is there anything, can you see at any other place where you're not hallowing his name? I don't want philosophy, I want today. Are you in a place where you're not hallowing his name? Anybody? Everybody hallowing his name. John?
I'm sure I don't hallow his name every minute of every day.
Well, I'm talking about this minute.
I probably never do.
If you never do it, and you know what it is to hallow his name...
I don't know what the semantics are. I don't know what the definitions of these things are. What do you mean? Let me tell you, I do hollow his name. That'd be pretty sacrilegious.
No, I'm saying to you, listen. This is extremely important. It's first of it's our Father, which is in heaven. So our is the mystery. It's to us. It's the mystery is not to me, but to us. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That's the structure upon which everything else is built. It follows.
What is hallow? What's the definition?
We just went through that.
I missed it.
I know.
So
to hallow his name, you have to consider you have to hallow everything that Jesus hallows.
I mean, what does it mean? Honor? Esteemed?
No.
I ask for a definition. I think maybe I can kind of understand what's being said.
I think off the mercy seat, you don't hallow his name in any respect. But on the mercy seat, if you're there, that is what you do.
Yes, because when you go on to the mercy seat, which is what it's saying, when you go into the closet, you know, I don't want a philosophy here. When you go into the closet and you start to pray, is the first thing the Holy Spirit will do if you're sensitive to Him, is to say, is there any place where I'm not hallowing His name, where I'm not considering hallowed or holy the same things that He does? And so if I go into that holy place, into the closet, in the internal mystery and way deep inside of you, and I don't believe that it's finished, then I'm not hallowing his name. If I go into the holy place and I believe that there's something wrong with me, then I'm not hallowing his name. If I go into the holy place and find out that, my God, I haven't forgiven from the heart that circumstance or that person, then I'm not hallowing his name. Now, as we go along, as the sanctification process, if you will, as our rebellion is revealed more and more and more, then that hallowing his name comes down to a very, it's a pristine point, but it encompasses everything that Jesus hallows. So everything is finished. Everything is perfect. I can't have a need. That's what hallowing his name means.
I was just reading it. Perfected be thy name. Perfected be thy name. Perfection.
Well, his name, I mean, that would, no. You can't say that unless you think everything else is perfect.
I will take that back.
basically, you're saying if something's bothering you, that's the area that you haven't hallowed his name in, and it's that point between, you know, encountering whatever the thing is in your mind or whatever, and then seeing its true purpose and why it's there, so it's not really a problem anymore.
Right.
It's a revelator of him. And that's the...
That's the...
Then it's hollow.
Right. So...
Even if it hasn't changed, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about who's that king who decided to hollow this ground where they weren't supposed to really do anything. He just hollowed the whole ground and declared it to be holy. And, you know, it was like, it doesn't seem right to do that because it seems like this is a big problem. So we need to, you know, that God's really not in it or something. And then you have to see through that and it's hollowed. So.
Well, I'm talking about whatever it is that you've apprehended or been apprehended by. If you're not there when you enter the closet, then you should stop if you're not hallowing his name.
This goes back to being in Christ, because you don't go in that closet in Gary. You go in him, and then this is not a difficult...
Well, it is if you're doing it as a trick. Do you understand what that means? If I by definition say that I am in Christ, but I haven't forgiven somebody, then I'm not in Christ. If I say that I'm in Christ, and then I'm just struggling and doing all kinds of things over some issue, then I'm not in Christ. So it's the touchstone. It's touchstone before the rest of the prayer. Am I hallowing his name? Is there anything or anyone or any circumstance that I haven't forgiven from the heart? That I have seen that it had to happen exactly as it did, otherwise I wouldn't be in this place of understanding. Can I see if I have any, you know, all the idols that have been destroyed that have kept me from his mystery? Is there anything that's happening right now when I'm in this prayer, in this closet, in this inner sanctum? If I haven't seen the perfection of his holiness, just seen it, glimpsed it, not saying I am holy. If I haven't seen that you've been perfected by one offering, then, and if you want, therefore, if you're going into the holy place to ask for to be somehow changed, then you're not hallowing his name. And it goes on and on and on. All I'm asking you to do is search the scriptures so that you can be apprehended by all of these things that where you're not hallowing his name. And so what James said about this is you pray and you receive not. You ask and you receive not. Why? You ask because you're consuming it on your own lusts, as opposed to this mystery of our Father which art in heaven. I mean, it goes on and on. And what I'm trying to do this morning isn't to get you to... It's not my business how far you've been apprehended. But it's my business to tell you that hallowed be thy name is a huge deal. And I've given you a jillion examples, not a jillion, maybe a bunch of examples where we don't hallow his name if we don't see those things, if we don't see the same thing. To hallow his name means to confess the Lord Jesus. Which means you've seen the same things. You've heard the same things that he sees. Your viewpoint is no longer from the bottom up. Your viewpoint is from the top down. You've seen that it's finished. You've seen that you need nothing. You've seen that, you know, all of these things. And then you're hallowing his name. The reason I'm doing this is because... It's because I had a long conversation with somebody that called me and wanted help. and they had... They started talking about this, and they went insane. You don't understand. I need help. No.
Hallowed be thy name, except in this problem.
Okay. So do you at least have a little bit of understanding of what hallowed be thy name means? Hallowed be his name means you have to hallow the same things that he hallows. And the scriptures are full of that. All right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That means you're ready for the... You're ready, right day, today, you're ready for the judgment seat. Because you're on the mercy seat. You've forgiven yourself for all things. You've forgiven everyone. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done is an expression of that. And then obviously here it's not on earth, which everybody says, it's in earth. Because on earth it will always be the same. It'll never look like anything. Never look any different to the carnal eyes. Okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So each of us, it has to take place in us. Give us this day our daily bread. Now this is a biggie because it's give us this day the bread of the face or the bread of the presence. That means, again, it takes us back to his presence. And if you're in his presence, you can need nothing. This isn't talking about strawberries on your oatmeal or something. It's thy daily bread, the bread of thy face, the meat of you. Okay? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. First it was, give us this day our daily bread. That's the matzah. And now forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive our debtors. That's the wine. But notice, it's as we forgive. If you hold the slightest resentment against your sister or against your brother or against your sister-in-law or against your father or against anyone, if you hold the slightest resentment against them, you haven't forgiven them from the heart, then you've not understood this prayer.
It's interesting, the sequence here, the forgiveness doesn't come till after this other stuff. It's like you're all there, and then you hit you with, now, have you forgiven everybody?
Right. Have you forgiven yourself is the biggie.
And yourself, yeah, because you're vulnerable as Dickens at that point. You might hear this.
And lead us not into temptation. John found it, this out, and I've confirmed it, that this word for lead is only used twice in the Bible. And it's used in this, Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, and it's used in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. And it means to lead inward, to draw, be drawn inward. And so, lead us not into temptation literally means lead us not inward, where the source of all of the temptation is. Lead us not inward, but deliver us from the evil one. So, all you that routinely go to your mind to get so things can gel with you, you got to stop it. Because you cannot apprehend it by that way. You cannot apprehend the mystery. You can only apprehend the mystery by being apprehended. And that can only happen when you've emptied yourself.
It's interesting that he even says this, as if God would lead you into temptation. He doesn't do that. But it's said here.
Lead us not.
Can everybody hear what I said about this? Lead us not inward. Because that's the biggie. That's what we do daily. And we do it to try to understand Scripture. Which is, I promise you, your ears will never be circumcised trying to do that. And your heart won't be totally circumcised. Because you're giving credence to your ability to understand spiritual matters with your mind.
And what do we do here every morning?
What do you do here? You haven't heard? Why are we here? Why are we at Trinity Foundation? Why are we anywhere? Why do we gather together? Why is there the preaching of the cross? So that it sparks what you already know. So that repentance can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper down to the core of your soul. That's what the preaching of the cross is for. That's what Bible study is for. You've heard me say that a million times.
Seems contradictory to what you said a minute ago.
How?
You can't apprehend.
You're apprehended by you're apprehended not by your mind, but by repentance. What's the purpose of all this? What is the purpose of it?
Yeah. What is it?
Love.
The end result is love, but it's not our love, it's His love. What is the purpose of all this in-depth teaching? Are you offended by it?
Some.
These are just the subtleties of the law.
Yes, these are the aspects that are of Christ that we enjoy looking at day after day.
Right, but do we live it? Do we live it? Do we live Him? Or is He living in us? Are we... The vessel isn't supposed to comprehend and apprehend and... You know, you're a vessel to contain something. Go to Romans 3 a minute.
The Word of God is its own dynamic in that respect. It's not abandoned.
Verse 19. Now we know. Well, let's read the whole thing here. Just take a minute. Start in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and when tongues they use deceit. The poison of asp was under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. For there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we can't say that's them. We have to understand he's talking about the whole human race. And then he says, then what's the purpose? We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, the mystery of God is the fullness of the Son is already in you. But it's simply a matter of repenting. Now, my only purpose is to cause repentance to be deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You can't do it. You can do one thing, and then, well, I can do that. No, you can't, you know, because there's another thing that's tied to it. So the illusion, this is why I keep saying, repentance isn't a singular act. Repentance is a way of being, so that you remain empty before Him. Now, the Lord's Prayer, that sounds simple. Everybody repeats it. Used to repeat it at high school football games. But let's look at what it means. Man?
Yeah, if you don't come to this spot, you don't go any farther. If you don't see you're guilty before God, you're just trying to learn something.
Well, to me, again, as I went through all this and studied so hard, literally trying to find a loophole, it became this exciting trek, is the best way to describe it. Because the more you see in the law and in the writings, the more all of a sudden you're something hits that you'd never thought of before, and altogether it opens up a whole new arena of His grace. Our prayers show us wondrous things out of Thy Scriptures, O Lord. And if you're offended by it, well, it's probably good.
I hope so. Offended by every line of this thing.
God bless you.
Yeah, I feel bad.
I was thinking about when the temple, or actually the tabernacle, it's like the people who actually got into the Holy of Holies, the one guy, and all the different areas, it was an accident of birth. You know, or that you were even there, because
you had to be of the line of
the smartest people or the most spiritually adept.
Yes, the dumbest.
and that's the way it is with us. It's our birth. You know, He's born in us. It's this birth. You know, that makes any of that possible. Not something we've achieved or figured out.
I thought Bible study was so that you could beat other people up with your knowledge. Isn't that?
That's a child playing with sticks, but
well, Bible study is to shed more light on Him so that we will decrease and He will increase.
Amen.
And we do that together so that, you know, we can see that we're not isolated individuals, but we're part of a bride. I'm not saved in and of myself. I'm saved from this world as part of something greater.
When John said that a little bit about the high priest was an accident of birth. Well, the whole priesthood was an accident of birth in the old system. And so there are a jillion examples. There's every once in a while there was just these brilliant guys, you know, that were in the priesthood. But the real, most of the time, or much of the time, the Levites were the teachers of the priests and the high priest. And so it's...
They were teachers by example.
No, by teaching.
The Levites instructed the priests?
Instructed the high priest.
Well, what the rituals were and everything.
Because the priest was there only by birthright. He had to be of the seed of Aaron.
Sometimes he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed.
No. And so this is especially true on Yom Kippur when he had to go into the Holy of Holies. I mean, they spent weeks beforehand with him to know the exact intricacies of all of the activities that went on inside the holy place. But now we can boldly go into that throne of grace. But we have to know how to get there. You have to be empty to get there. Amen? Gary?
Yeah, I'm just thinking that emptiness is the place where Christ lives.
He can only occupy where we are nothing.
Yeah. But even that can't be in your consciousness as, okay, now I'm in Christ. I'm okay.
No, you're just empty. That's living right. Each second by faith. Well, or it's a philosophy. All right, take it, big guy.
I'm sorry, Oli. I thought that Bible study was so that I could prove I'm right and you're wrong.
I'm glad you finally said that. It needed to be said in here.
Yeah.
So you can learn enough to go home to your parents and break them over the cold.
There you go.
All those years.
Yeah. Felt like they mistreated you.
Gotta run.
Okay, see ya.